Well, happy Monday morning to you. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's great to have you with us on the Drivecast. Thanks for coming back. We jumped back into our Everyday Faith series this past weekend, looking at the book of James. And you know, in week number two, right at the end of James chapter one, we looked at these verses that I think are critical for understanding the book. Say this, verses 26 and 27, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, the reason I think these verses are so important is they kind of provide an outline for the book of James, right? So chapter 2 is about the church's treatment of widows and orphans and doing ministry. Chapter 3 is about how to use your words. And then chapters 4 and 5 are about living uniquely as a Christian in our world. So in jumping into chapter 3, really it's mostly, I think, a lot about how we use our words. And so right off the bat, verse 1 says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know those who will teach will be judged with a greater level of strictness. And I know this brings up the whole idea of the judgment between Christians and non-Christians. And so we talked a little bit about that yesterday, that, you know, God is a good father, right? And so we can trust him. And there is the reality of eternal judgment. And so either Jesus is judged for your sins and you are in Christ, living in relationship with him, or you're going to be judged for your own sins. And I just think whenever you come to Christ, like we come to him and surrender because we believe that he is good and because that what he offers us is good. And so the reality that, man, to those whom much is given, i.e. the cross, i.e., you know, Jesus, much is required, that Christianity blesses the humble and it really humbles the blessed. And I think the reason that's important for us is, you know, most religions in the world, they exalt the best, the people who are the most obedient, the people who are the most, and Christianity is kind of backwards. It's kind of like the more you know, the more responsible you are and the more humble you should become. So I don't think James is saying here, hey, don't be a teacher because, you know, the judgment standard is so much higher. I know that because over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul says, listen, if a man desires the position of a bishop or a shepherd or a pastor, he desires a good work. I think what James is saying is, listen, just be careful, right? Just don't make assumptions and jump into teaching scripture, right? There's a higher level of accountability that comes with that. And at the same time, don't be resentful. It's really easy to get ourselves into a position, and I hear people say this a lot, where, you know, they struggle with ministerial resentment. You know, I was at a church where the pastor did blank, and you know, you fill in the blank. And listen, pastors aren't perfect. And I said to our church yesterday, you know, if you're around here long enough, you'll experience some of my imperfections. I'll probably make decisions that you don't agree with. But my calling is that I try to help people follow a path where they can come to God, not put obstacles in the path, but help them move towards God. And that's what I think then leads us into verse 2, which is more applied to all of us and not just teachers, when James says, you know, for we all stumble. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's perfect and able to bridle his whole body. So the idea then is, if you can tame your tongue, if you can allow your words to become life to others, apples of gold and settings of silver, like the writer of Proverbs says, your words both determine and reveal who you are. And so if you can master your words, you can master your life. And so I gave our Lewis Center campus some homework. I called it speech class. Six things to aim at this week in terms of our speech. Number one, don't complain. Number two, don't boast about anything at all. Number three, don't gossip or repeat bad information about someone else. Don't run somebody down, even a little. That's number four. Number five, don't defend or excuse yourself no matter what. And number six, do always affirm other people. So I think it's just a test for our words this week. Not only to see how we do, we're not aiming at perfection, but to see how our own hearts change when we use our words for good and God's glory, as opposed to just allowing our normal human sinful nature to determine the direction of our words and the information that we share. So that said, I'm going to pray that into our day and then give you the opportunity to pray. Lord, I do pray for our words this week. They're a reflection of our hearts. And so we start there this morning, that we take a deep breath, that we repent, we turn our heart your direction. We understand, God, that we want our words to be used for the encouragement, for the building up, for the edification of the body, your word says. And so would you do that today? Give us opportunities to encourage others. Give us opportunities, God, to express restraint as well, and not say the things that just naturally come right off the top of our head at times. All those things, God, not because we're disciplined or because we are giving great effort, but because you alone have our hearts. We surrender to you today. Now you take the opportunity to pray.